Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Sammy Zhang. Sammy is a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2021, and she is also the president of the Asian Business Club at Darden. Sammy and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her MBA journey, what brought her to Darden, what she's looking forward to accomplishing in her second year, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sammy Zhang. Sammy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rex. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this. This is a moment in podcast history here on the Experience Darden podcast. You are currently in China, isn't that right?
That's correct.
So this is, I guess, some sort of record for us. We've never talked with someone who's actually located in China for the podcast. So congratulations on being part of history here.
Yes, thank you. I'm really glad and I'm happy to share some of my experience being aboard. And before we start, I really want to let you know that I was a listener to the Executive MBA podcast when I was applying to Darden. And when I first met you at an admission event, I heard your voice in distance. And that makes me really excited because I finally be able to see you in person. And then when I got the email invitation from you this time to talk about my MBA experience, I was thrilled because I learned a lot from the stories shared by the previous Darden alums and love to share my stories at this podcast too.
Well, that is great, Sammy. It's always wonderful to hear when it comes full circle in that way where we have people who listen to the podcast coming on the podcast. We've had a few of those interviews thus far. So excited that this will be one of them. And I also have to thank you. For our listeners who may not know exactly when we're recording this, this is a Monday morning here, East Coast time. But for Sammy, this is 11 p.m. at night. So staying up late for the podcast, we really appreciate it.
No worries. Happy to do it.
Well, Sammy, I want to check in with you and see how everything's going. You know, obviously these are unusual times, as has been noted over and over again. And how are you doing? You picked up any new hobbies over these past couple months? How's school going?
Yeah, so I think everything's going great. So I came back to China in September for a family matter, but fortunately things has becoming better after that. I decided to stay with my family a little bit longer. So my plan to go back to the US will be sometimes around Christmas. Being able to spend time with family is something that I didn't plan for my MBA journey, but thanks to the hybrid environment, I was able to take classes online and attend all the club events virtually. I don't feel that I'm missing out on a lot. And besides, I was able to really catch up with my parents and grandparents saying like what's on their mind. So I really cherish this time before I go back to the US and start working full time again.
That's great to hear. And one of the things we were talking about before we got started is your classmates have really been thoughtful about your schedule, which, you know, there's quite a time difference between the East Coast of the United States and China. I was not surprised to hear you say that, but I think our listeners would love to hear a little bit more about that. How have your classmates accommodated your schedule?
Yes. Yeah, so I can talk about this more later, but I'm part of DCM and I'm portfolio manager of the Monticello Fund, and we have a weekly meeting scheduled to discuss our positions and pitching new ideas. Since we have like a routine schedule to meet on Friday afternoons after coming back, my teammates are really accommodating to change our time schedule to really early morning. I know like none of them are morning person, but I'm really thankful that they make it happen for me so I can attend the meeting in a more like normal time based on my time zone. So I'm really glad that my peers are willing to make it happen for me.
No, that's great to hear. And we have had a recent episode about Darden Capital Management. Talked to Rachel Gibson not so long ago about her role as CEO of DCM. So we'll get to that. Certainly, we'll talk about what you're up to these days. But let's talk about, you know, what you did before coming to Darden. So what's your background? What did you do before you showed up in Charlottesville for your first year?
Yeah, so I was working in consumer finance. I graduated from a master's degree in statistics at the end of last financial crisis. And back then, with all the scrutiny in the financial regulation, I became really interested to understand the overall risk in the financial system. So I took on a job as a credit risk modeler at Freddie Mac to understand what's the overall risk in the portfolio. And I spent a few years working on the stress testing for the company. And from there, I gradually moved to the portfolio management side, working with the investors in mortgage credits to help them understand the risk and benefits of our products. And after a few years on the risk side, I become really curious to understand, like, why banks accumulate so many risks in the beginning, like how do they make money from accumulating risk? That made me move to a bank to understand more about the overall business model for a bank. And then I switched job to PNC. I was able to work on a lot of product management there on the mortgage and auto loan portfolio. From there, I learned about pricing, marketing, and also overall strategy for running a portfolio. And I really found myself really interested in the overall consumer finance industry. However, like, I feel I want to pivot into investment banking so I can be closer to the decision maker in this industry and have like a better vision to solve the problems I saw in this industry. So that leads me to MBA and pivot into investment banking.
Thank you for sharing that. And I wondered, after you got your master's, did you imagine that you would go back to school and pursue another graduate degree? Or did you think at that time, I've pretty much done graduate school. Were you surprised that you decided to pursue an MBA?
So I gradually developed my interest in MBA. I think my master's degree and my undergrad education background really prepared me well on the quantitative side. So I was able to build complicated models and have good critical thinking ability. However, I always wanted to gather more general business fundamental skills that I can understand more about the market overall and also understand about different type of business. And I think that's something I was really looking for in the MBA education. And also outside of that, I wanted to grow into a considerate leader in the long run to really empower and influence people, lead teams to success. So I think I was waiting for a leadership experience that can polish my leadership skills and also help me build more understanding about people, culture, and diversity. That also drive me to like a business degree. And last thing is, I was born and raised in China. However, I didn't get any global working experience before coming into MBA. So I was always looking for a global network that I can like type in a life long term. And I think MBA really helped me build up this global network that allow me to continue learning and refresh my points of views.
So I'm curious about how Darden got on your radar and how you said, this is the school for me. What factor sort of swayed you to Darden?
Yeah, so I think it was a really natural process. Before coming into Darden, I was working in the DC area, and there was a big group of Darden alum there. I was fortunate enough to interact with a group of alums to work and also volunteer work. I was really impressed by how dynamic the network was, and also I was impressed by their people and problem-solving skills. For example, when I was working with the Darden alums, I can really saw them like trying to gather the opinion from everyone, support everyone to speak up, and also lay out a framework for the problem to be solved in a really cohesive way. I want to be someone like that in the long run, so that lead me to do a class visit. And during my class visit, I was able to meet with a few women that has already found internship in investment banking. They really gave me great support, because back then I was a little hesitant about my ability to find internship in investment banking. And I was really encouraged by my conversations with the Darden alums and the leaders from the finance club during my class with it. I think that those furthered my beliefs in Darden and also investment bank.
Well, that's great to hear. We know that the visit can be a big part of people's decision. We're not able to do in-person class visits right now, so we've been doing a lot of mock classes and other ways for people to get to know the Darden community. I'm curious, you came with a deep quantitative background. You'd already done a specialized master's. You come to Darden, first-year student. What was the most challenging thing for you? What did you find yourself really having to adjust to that was maybe a bit different than what you experienced previously?
Right. So I found time management being the most challenged thing. And I'm sure I'm not alone there, because for a lot of people, the first year is like a buffet. We are constantly battling between like schoolwork, recruiting, club events, networking with some Darden, maintaining existing network, spending time with family, and then sleep. So a lot of time I want to like focus on multiple things, but like time is really the only issue. So what I learned from the first year is really to leverage the Darden resource and also other people's experience to do things more effectively. For example, during the first two quarter when we were recruiting, I also wanted to spend enough time on coursework so I can get the most from the education experience. And back then, I was heavily leaning on my fabulous learning team. They are my most immediate family at Darden, and they gave me tremendous help during the core to help me success in the classroom. And then the career center, my second year coach, and the finance club are really my biggest supporters in recruiting. I feel I've saved a lot of time in making decisions or self-doubts or hesitation, because I have the strong supports from all these resources. And I would definitely like recommend the incoming students to make the most use of the school resources. And when you are finding like helpless, or when you're finding that you are not doing the things in the most effective ways, like just talking to second years and trying to find like resource to help you, you're not alone in the situation. You can always find good help in those situations.
It's very true. And we've had a lot of conversations here on the podcast about the importance of being vulnerable and saying, you know what, I'm having a hard time with this right now, because you invariably learn that there are other people who feel the same way. So I want to come back to the conversation about the Finance Club and how they were helpful to you. But before we do that, can you tell us just a little bit more about your learning team? Who's on the team and what are the backgrounds of the members? How did you know you would really kind of like come together as a family? Was there a moment or an experience that stands out for you?
So our learning team has six people. We come from really diverse background. One of us came from human resource in the financial service industry. She really brought us a lot of knowledge to understand about like leading organizations and also the culture elements of a team. And then we also have a veteran who have great background about like stationing in Europe and a lot of like international relationship opinions. And then we have two teammates coming from engineering background. They are our greatest help in operation class. Like a lot of things that was really remote to me are like their biggest strengths, and with their help, I was able to really navigate the operation class well. And lastly, we have a team member have a really diverse background, first from Teach America, then in financial service industry. So he was able to provide us a lot of insights into marketing and also managing teams. So with my background coming in finance, I really felt that we have all the subjects covered well. And also we were able to help each other when we were facing like problems. I feel for every learning team, there will be moments that we had arguments, but like we always able to find common grounds and leave the learning team room with a lot of laughters and a lot of great moments. And then I think the overall power of learning team really come into place during the end of Q2, when it was the most stressful time for recruiting. Since we are recruiting for different industry, we were able to really plan out our workload to try to like save some time for each team members to attend more as many career events as possible. So I feel like if it's not with this fabulous learning team, I wouldn't able to attend all the recruiting events I wanted, and also being able to prepare for the case as well and be confident in class.
And that's great to hear. And thank you for sharing more about your learning team. I think it's good for listeners to hear. These are diverse teams, lots of different kinds of people, lots of different backgrounds. And you're right. Just like families or any other team, you may not always agree, but at the end of the day, you're all there to help and support each other. And for those of you who are wondering sort of when Q2 is in the calendar, it's right around November, December. And so a very busy time. That's quarter two right now. We're recording this podcast in November. And so a very busy time for our first year students as they recruit and talk with companies and, you know, all of this that goes into the first year internship search process. And so let's talk about the Finance Club a little bit, because one of the things that we've said here on the podcast in a number of different ways is that recruiting at Darden is a team sport. And so it's not just the career development team. They are incredible. The career coaches and the resources available for the Career Development Center, incredible resources there. But second year students and your classmates as a first-year student, but all of these people coming together really help support students in the search process. And so the clubs and organizations play a role in that. And I wonder how the Finance Club was helpful to you as you, you know, went through investment banking recruiting and did your research.
Yeah, Finance Club was like the leader in the recruiting for first years. So when we first started our Darden journey, I think the investment banks are the first to come on ground for recruiting. Everyone was feeling not ready back then. However, the Finance Club were able to like really help us coordinate with the bank, so like they understand about our situation and was willing to like make events that help like really adjust to the students' understanding and help the ones who came from like non-finance background to learn about what is investment banking and what type of person they are really looking for. So I think in the very beginning, Finance Club did a really great fundamental work for both the recruiter and the students to be on the same page and also create a great platform for the students to come together and pitch their stories with each other and like editing their resume and also finding the right group that they are interested in. And later, I feel the Finance Club really hold our hand in every step of the recruiting journey. After the first month, there will be a lot of networking calls for the students who are interested in investment banking. And the Finance Club gave us detailed guidance on like how we should talk about during those calls and like what's the process after having a call, and if you are like having a follow-up call, like what type of questions should we cover. So I always felt that I was having really adequate guidance on every step of the journey. And then when the winter comes, when we are preparing for the interviews, the Finance Club help us to coordinate mock interviews with our first year and first year peers or second year coaches. And it really helped us to practice well and success at the interview in the end.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think it's great for folks to hear, again, multiple people helping support first year students and supporting all of the students here at Darden, and clubs play a really active role in the career process. And so, Sammy, I want to give you a moment here to talk about your section. As a first-year student, sections are an important touch point. What section were you?
I'm part of Section E.
Okay. All right. So Section E, we've had a few Section E members here on the podcast. I wonder, you know, every section has its own norms. What was your favorite norm for Section E? Something that y'all did as a section that you just really enjoyed?
So my favorite norm is that we applause a lot. We applause when someone get a cold call, and we applause for our professors at the end of each class. I felt that really bring us together as a section and really showcase our personality really well, because I feel overall Section E is a really welcoming and help supportive section. And we consider like our faculties, our partners, all as a part of our section, and we do like really care about each other and want to see each other succeed.
I love that point about clapping for people, you know, faculty, obviously at the end of every class, but particularly students who have been cold called. I think for those of you who aren't sure what a cold call is, well, a cold call is when you get called on without volunteering to speak. It happens here at Darden. It's part of the process, but it's nice that y'all would clap for those students, because I know that's can be nerve-wracking, can be a little bit stressful, not because of anything other than just finding your footing with talking about things in the case method. Do you remember your first cold call, Sammy?
Yeah, I definitely do. So my first cold call came really late. It was during the last finance class in the first quarter, and it was a big cold call because I was supposed to walk through my model during the class, and it was a model that I built on my own. I didn't discuss a model with my learning team the night before, so I was a little shaking when I was talking about my model, but luckily, I was able to finish it, and I definitely felt I became a lot confident in finance class after the first cold call.
That's great to hear. So what did you do this past summer?
So I did an internship at Bank of America in their financial institution group doing investment banking. It was a very special summer because our internship got shortened, but that didn't really impact the quality of my summer. I really enjoyed the group I interned, and also I felt we have a really well-structured summer. In the beginning, we had a lot of technical training, group-specific training, and also industry panel. And then when we hit the desk, we were able to do different type of deals that are really designed to help us understand the overall dynamic of the industry coverage group. And I also feel that because of the overall virtual environment, we were able to connect with a lot of more senior leadership in the bank. So I guess in the Euro time, a lot of the MDs and directors will be traveling, but because of pandemic, they have a lot of spare time from commuting or traveling. So I was able to connect with many MDs and directors of the group, had great conversations. I really learned about the culture of the team and the outlook of the industry. So I really enjoyed the summer with the bank. And also I'm part of Darden Capital Management. I'm a portfolio manager of the Monte Carlo Fund. And since the other three portfolio managers are also doing investment banking internship and also get shortened, we were able to continue our fund work during the summer. So we continue to meet weekly before and after the summer internship. It was a really interesting summer for the equity market, and we were able to learn a lot by following the position of our portfolio and also comparing with the benchmark.
That's very interesting. So it sounds like this summer was really affirming for you. You had an investment banking internship, and it sounds like that's still what you want to do.
Yes. I was happy. I was really happy that it could happen for me. And this year I was trying, I definitely got a lot of help from second year who gave me a lot of support and guidance in the journey. And this year I was trying to pay forward to the first years and help the ones who's interested in the investment banking career to find an internship within the industry.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Monticello Fund through Darden Capital Management. What is the focus of this fund, and what kind of assets do you have under management?
Yeah, so we have of 4 million assets under management. It's mostly equity. And the most unique thing about the Monticello Fund is we strive to have a global focus. So we have a really diverse set of holdings across the globe. And we try to have holdings in both emerging and developing countries. And this year, because of the impact of COVID, there has been a lot of up and downs in our holdings, and we were able to learn how to like really see the comparative advantage of our holdings in this very special time.
Yeah, we talked with Rachel a bit, CEO of Darden Capital Management, when she came on about what must it be like right now to try to manage money in the midst of everything going on. Stock market goes up, it goes down, it goes up, down. The volatility that you mentioned, combined with the fact that globally there's a lot of disruption happening right now. What have you learned through this experience?
I think the biggest thing I learned is definitely diversification. So we have a great leverage from the Monticello Fund alone, that we really inherited a great set of portfolio from the past. And during April this year, we were able to make some quick decision to change some holdings that was heavily affected by COVID. And then over the summer, we were mostly like just in the holding mode, trying to understand more about the market and trying to see if there's any undervalued opportunities. And we were under constant discussions to pitch new ideas and refreshing our understanding about like some countries and some industries. And we were able to perform above the benchmark this year. I think that's really benefits from the diversification and rounds of discussion and different points of views we have in the fund.
So you're in your second year. You're taking electives now. Did you try to specialize more and focus on finance-related classes, or are you taking a lot of different kinds of classes? I'm curious how you made your elective choices.
Yeah, that's a big struggle for me. So coming to Darden, I wanted to have a general management education. I wanted to have exposure to all the subjects. However, I do find like there's a lot of really appealing finance courses here at Darden. So I try to spend half of my time on the finance courses and half of my time explore other disciplines. I'm taking money and banking and negotiation this year. I'm also taking some experimental classes like the student admission committee. I think overall it's a very tough choices to make course selection at Darden, that there are so many great courses, but I feel that I was able to get the most from every class with the great guidance from the faculty members and also the great conversation in class.
So let's talk a little bit more about the Student Admissions Committee, the SAC. So you are a second year student on the second year SAC, and you get to interview students who are applying to Darden and work really closely with our prospective students. What has that been like?
It has been a great journey for me. So I first heard of this opportunity from an alumni, and she said it's something that she was really cherished, and it's something that she thought I couldn't pass it during the second year. As an Asian student, I always wanted to help the school to have a bigger impact in Asia, and also getting the best profile in like Asian student body. So with that in mind, I signed up for SCAC during the summer, and luckily I was able to get in. And this year I've done about 18 interviews so far. I think I also learned a lot from the reflections of the conversations. I start to understand about more real students' background, like why they want to come to Darden. And I also try to give my candid thoughts on each candidate and help to navigate them into the Darden journey, and also help the admission team to make a better choice. Overall, I think it's a good training for me in terms of leadership, and also I hope it's something that I can like make an impact for Darden community.
What's your number one interview tip for candidates?
it's definitely like prepare well. So we would love to hear what's draw you into Darden, and definitely like reach out to more students before coming to the interview, because we want to hear like what kind of club events you would like to join, and what type of classes really draw you into Darden. And reaching out to current students will definitely help you.
That's right. One of the questions that you'll have an opportunity to answer and speak to during your interview is one that we actually don't ask on the application. And we talked about this in the recent Interview Tips podcast, but it is, why Darden? We have no part of our application that actually asks you why you're interested in Darden, but that is something we will want to hear more about, your interviewer will want to hear more about during the interview. So be prepared and do your research now. Hopefully listen to the podcast. If you found this episode, you're well on your way. So so Sammy, you've got a few more months to go before graduation. I wonder what you're looking forward to in the months ahead. What are you excited about?
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Asia Business Club at Darden this year. And one of the biggest events we have every year is the Asia Week. It's coming in February during the Lunar New Year. We will have a full week of programming during that week. And there will be a lot of collaboration with other clubs in Darden. That's the thing that I'm really looking forward to. And I hope we can have a great participation this year, even in the virtual environment.
Yeah, I'm thinking back on past Asia Weeks. There's always great speakers and talks. And I think we've had flash mobs. I think we had a K-pop flash mob a couple of years ago. What are you hoping to accomplish? What's on your mind as you think about, you know, Asia Week this year?
Yeah, so we are working on get a really diverse side of speaker this year, and we want to touch on some most current issues in terms of the COVID responses and the impact in business in Asia due to COVID this year. Hopefully that will be interesting for the audience.
I think it will be. So we asked the same last question here of all of our guests, and wondered if you have a piece of advice for our prospective student listeners, something that you would highlight for them that they should be thinking about, or something for them to keep in mind as they continue to learn about Darden.
Yeah, so I think I might have already touched on this a little bit earlier. Definitely reach out for more coffee chats. Coffee chat is a big part of Darden culture, and I feel as a member of the Darden community, everyone wants to pay it forward by connecting with more prospective students and sharing their most candid opinion about Darden and what they cherish the most about their journey. So definitely reach out to current students and hear what's on their mind.
Absolutely. There are student ambassadors who have volunteered their time and are listed on the website. You can also reach out to club and organization leaders. You can find the listing of the clubs and organizations under the culture and community page on our website. But all of the leaders of those organizations, they also welcome the opportunity to hear from you. So many different ways to get connected. And we also, from an admissions standpoint, do small group coffee chats too, if you want to hear from us and maybe meet a few fellow prospective students. That's another opportunity. So take advantage of all of these things. Well, Sammy, I can't thank you enough for staying up late. I should note we're pushing the midnight hour there in China. Thank you for staying up late, for taking time out for the podcast. It's always great to have a listener on as a guest, and I hope you stay safe and well in the coming months.
Thank you, Brad, for having me here, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to meet you again in person.
And that was my interview with Sammy Zhang, a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We could be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.